Well, today I'm going to share with you the last of the Christmas messages. We've been talking about different people in the story of the birth of Christ. We talked about Mary on the first week and how God helped her to believe something that was impossible. And we talked about Joseph, who was a man who just had extreme trust in the Lord, just a man who was able to be yielded to the Lord in every respect. And today I want to talk about Simeon in the Bible. And we'll begin that story in Luke chapter 2. And so, Father, I pray this morning that we can learn something valuable from this man's life. It's a short piece about him in the Bible, yet it's rich, full of rich truth for those whose eyes are open and ears are open. I pray, Lord God, that you'd help me to convey a truth this morning that would give an inspiration to each one of us here. Help us to see the heart of Jesus in the scriptures. In Jesus' name I pray. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. It says, at the end of the 8 days, so Jesus was born. 8 days later, it was part of the law that he would be circumcised. And so here it was, at the end of the 8 days when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. And if you remember, they told Mary to name him Jesus, also Joseph, name him Jesus, for he would save us from our sins. It was a name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb, which Jesus would have been, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, which was a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And so Mary and Joseph came with these 2 pigeons to offer as a sacrifice to the Lord for Jesus. And Jesus was called holy to the Lord. The firstborn belonged to him. Now there was a man in Jerusalem. And it's really interesting to me how the Bible just kind of slots in this little statement. Now there was in Jerusalem a man whose name was Simeon. And this man, the Bible says, was righteous. It's good to be righteous. There are different people mentioned as being righteous in the Bible, like Job was a righteous man, and Abraham was a man who was righteous, and Noah was a just man. So there are different ones like that. How many of you here desire to be a righteous man? When I say righteous here, I understand that righteousness comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, but this is like the idea of doing what's right. Like children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. That's the same word here. It's just. It's right. It's the right thing to do. That's what it means. How many here desire to do what's right? Just to be right. And we know those things don't save us, right? It's only the blood of Jesus. But it would be good if we all pursued being righteous people. Nothing wrong with that. It's a blessing. How many of you are glad when you have a righteous neighbor living beside you? You know, or you have righteous friends. You know, that's always a blessing. So this guy was a righteous man. He did what was right. He was also called devout. When you hear that word, you might think it means he did his Bible studies regularly, but what it really means is he was careful. He was circumspect. He was a wise man, a discerning man. So he had these character qualities that I think are good for any person. And the Bible says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What's that mean? Well, it means that he was expecting Messiah would come. And so he was a man, apparently, who knew the scripture, understood it, had a heart for God. So he had all these, I call them character qualities, good character qualities. And the Bible says then, the Holy Spirit was upon him. What in the world does that mean? The Holy Spirit was upon him. I mean, here was a man who was a good character, devout, waiting for the consolation. He was an old man. You'll see later on in this passage. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon him. I mean, it's something you don't see. Really, the only time we see in the Bible the Holy Spirit upon a person when you could actually see it is when the Holy Spirit came on Jesus in the form of a dove. But in general, we see lots of people in the Bible who are mentioned as having the Holy Spirit upon them, and it's invisible. You can't just look at someone and say, hey, I see the Holy Spirit upon you. There's something else that shows this. Some other way this is manifested, that the Holy Spirit was upon him. So the Lord tells us, along with this man's character, the Holy Spirit was upon him. How many of you would love to have the Holy Spirit upon you? I would. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And then it says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. What do you mean? It means the Holy Spirit, and we understand the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says something was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. How did that happen? How in the world does the Holy Spirit reveal something? Here's Simeon, a righteous man, a devout man, doing his things. And somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit opens his understanding. I don't know, he whispered in his ear, he showed him something. I don't know how it happened, but somehow this man had a revelation, and it came from the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity spoke to him, and he revealed something to him. And here's what he said to him. He would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, who knows how long ago that statement was even made? That could have been 20 years earlier. It could have been 2 weeks ago. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But here's the thing that's cool about that, is that when God spoke this thing into his heart, it gave him a future hope, a future vision. The Holy Spirit revealed something to him that he believed. He said, I'm never going to die until the Messiah comes. I'm going to see him. I'm actually going to see him with my eyes, the Messiah. How did he know that? He wasn't walking around with a pipe dream. He wasn't making something up. It wasn't even a wishful hope. It was something that the Holy Spirit revealed to him. I wonder how many of you have ever had the Holy Spirit reveal something to you. Now, you might say, he doesn't do that anymore today. And I would say, well, I don't know how you find that in the Scripture. He is the God who does bring revelation. Yeah, we don't have new Bible scriptures today, but he does speak. All through the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was speaking and leading and guiding, and we're still living in the New Testament. My title today is called Christmas 2017, a man moved by the Holy Spirit. And when I say that, a man moved, I'm talking about women and men and children. People moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was upon him, and the Holy Spirit revealed some things to him. And then it says, on a certain day, verse 27, he came in the Spirit into the temple. What does that mean? Was it like a car he rode in? I'm coming in the Spirit. Did it mean he was invisible and just floating through the air? What does it mean that in the Spirit he came into the temple? Well, it really means that he was led by. He was moved by the Holy Spirit. How did that happen? I want to talk about that today. I love this man, Simeon, because we see here he was a man of character, but he was a man who had the Holy Spirit very much involved in his life. Now, I've been a person all of my life that I said to people, if you are helping people grow and raise up into leadership and you have a choice between character and the power of the Spirit, always go with character. If it's a choice, because you need good character in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, when you look in the Bible at qualifications for leadership, most of them are character traits. But what if the church of Jesus Christ is nothing but people with good character. What if that's all we are? How are we any different than any other organization that does good? There are plenty of organizations around the world that give millions of dollars. I was just reading a story the other day. You know, we did a little thing here to help out, sending some things down to the hurricane victims in Texas. But I was reading in the paper, and I don't know who the organization was, but they gave $1 billion. I'm thinking, who are these people? Rich people. All right, you got a point there. You got me on that one. But you know what I'm saying? The point I'm making is, you don't need the Holy Spirit to do those things. You don't need the Holy Spirit to feed the hungry. You don't need the Holy Spirit to give to the poor. You don't need the Holy Spirit necessarily to love somebody. There's people out there in the world that love. They love. It's not God's love. But what is it that sets apart a believer or the Church of Jesus Christ from everybody else on the planet? It is that one thing, that we have the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit lives inside of you. Amen. Now, we have our problems. We all know that. We all struggle. We all fall short. But we have the Holy Spirit. And I would love if each of us would not only be a person of character, but that we would also be people moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen? I mean, people who are receiving revelation from the Holy Spirit. People who come into the temple in the Holy Spirit. Whatever that means, Lord. I think sometimes the Holy Spirit actually takes us places even when we don't even know about it. I want to share a testimony that Caitlin was telling me the other day. I think she shared a little bit here, but her neighbor called the house one day and said, "Hey, can you take me to the store?" And this neighbor never asked for anything. Her husband actually works at the store where they were going to take her. He could have brought it home himself, but he said, "Can you take me to the store?" And as they went, she's there, and somebody comes and knocks on the window of their car and says, "Hey, I need gas. Can you help me?" And she wasn't sure whether she should help or not. Is this a valid need or whatever? And she kind of asked a few questions and went and helped the lady, paid for some gas and what have you. But, you know, long story short, a conversation began to take place over a period of a week, and that woman gave her heart to Jesus. Now, what I believe is that Caitlin went to the store in the Holy Spirit. She didn't know it. You know what she was praying for? "Lord, give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody." I think there's probably times in all of our lives, unbeknownst to us, where the Holy Spirit moves us. Just like Simeon, he shows up on that day. I don't know if he woke up that morning when he was eating his breakfast, the Lord said, "Hey, go to the temple because today you'll see the Messiah." I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But for whatever reason, in the Spirit, he came. And while he's there, here comes Mary and Joseph. See, that was a divine appointment. It was God's time. The Lord had already told this man, "You will not die until you see the Messiah." And here he is. I'm sure there were other babies coming in, all kinds of things happening, people bringing sacrifices. But somehow, in the midst of all these people and all the movement that's going on around the temple, his eyes lock on to this couple. You know, he didn't know them, but all of a sudden he sees something, and there's a discerning heart that comes up, and he says, "Hey, this is the one." And he walks over, he takes this baby, and look what he says. It says in verse 27, "He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms, and he blessed God. And he said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace.'" He's basically saying, "Lord, I'm ready to die. The promise you made to me has been fulfilled. I see the Messiah." And I want you to know, this was all a movement of the Holy Spirit in this man's life. So I'm asking you the question. I believe that you want to be people of character, and I believe many of you are. Some of you are just characters, but some of you are people of character. But I want to challenge you this year to say, I want to be a man moved by the Spirit. I want to be a woman moved by the Spirit. I want to see divine appointments in my life. I want to hear the Lord speak to me. You know, when the Lord speaks something into your heart, it's like life-giving. Paul told Timothy, war a good warfare because of the prophecies that went before you. I mean, here's Timothy struggling in life. He's a young minister going against false teaching in Ephesus and probably getting discouraged. And Paul the apostle wrote to him and says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And he's trying to encourage this young man. And then he told him, remember the prophecies you received. There was a time in your life back at some point in the past when God spoke to you. The Lord said something that gave life to you, gave purpose, gave meaning or understanding to your calling. He said, Timothy, remember that, hang on to it, and stir it up again. And I would like to ask you, many of you, I know, have had the Lord speak to you in your life. You've had prophetic words, or maybe the Lord by himself, by the Holy Spirit, reveals something to you, and maybe it hasn't come to pass yet. I'm telling you, hang on to it. This guy had a word from the Lord that he hung on to the end of his life. You will not die until you see the Lord's anointed. What has the Lord spoken to you? Don't get discouraged. Don't let the trials of this life tear down the work that God wants to do within you. And while you're out here in this world moving around, yes, be people of character, but expect to be a man of God, a man with power, a woman with the power of the Lord in his life. You know, Peter and John are walking up to the temple on a day, just a day. They're going up there to pray like they always do. And as they're walking up there, I don't know if that morning they prayed and said, Lord, you know, give us a vision for what's going to happen today. And they saw this guy, at the lame man there begging. All I can think of is they were walking up there to do what they normally do. And as it happened, this man's asking for some alms. And in that moment, I can tell you the Holy Spirit stirred up this man. And he said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And this man was healed from that day on. And he's walking and leaping and praising God. How many of you want to see those things in your life? Well, here's what I think. This is me. Here's a circle. Circle is called comfort zone. Now, who knows where all the good things happen? Outside the comfort zone. So you got to jump outside the comfort zone to find those kinds of things. How many of you remember the story of Smith Wigglesworth walks into the funeral home, walks over to the casket? Now, how many, maybe some of you have had this happen to you before. I don't know. You walk into a funeral home, you think, and your heart starts beating. You're thinking, oh, does the Lord want me to go there and raise this man from the dead? I don't know. I'm not telling you that. But Smith Wigglesworth walked over, picked this man up, and stood him up against the wall and said, live in the name of Jesus. And the guy slumps to the floor, and he picks him up again. And he says, and the guy came to life. I mean, that's a historic story. I mean, Jesus told his disciples to go out and cleanse a leper, raise the dead, he told them. Heal the sick, cast out demons. These things haven't changed, but these were people moved by the Spirit. Good. Yeah, they were men of character, and they had their flaws just like we do. But I want to say to us, let's be more than men of character. Let's be more than women of character. Let's be people moved by the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise we could just be another club and do good things like anybody. The calling of God and the work of the Lord and the mission of Christ requires something more than the capacity of human ability. It just does. We need his wisdom. We need his compassion. We need his power. We need his miraculous ability. All these things that he's called us to do, I can't do and you can't do. But he still asks us to do them. So I'm going to rapidly go through some of these things. What does it mean when the Holy Spirit is upon a person? Because this is what it says about Simeon. The Holy Spirit was upon him. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, Something happens. It's something beyond their ability. In Luke chapter 1:35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. This is Mary when she was made pregnant through the Holy Spirit and conceived and bore the child Jesus, born of a virgin. What did it say before that? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Even in the creation, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And creation began to happen. He was upon it. The woman was here. The Holy Spirit came upon him. In Judges 14, you guys know the story of Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. What is it that gave Samson his ability? Now, you'll read in the Bible about his long hair, and he was a Nazirite and made those kind of commitments, but it was the Holy Spirit upon him that enabled him. It says the Holy Spirit came powerfully upon. See, it's upon. So that he tore a lion apart with his bare hands. Anybody ever done that before? 1 Samuel 16. When Samuel went to anoint David as the king of Israel, the Bible says he poured oil upon his head, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. King James says it that way. ESV says the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. How many of you would love to have the Spirit of God rush upon you? Rush upon you. David's life was changed. The Spirit of the Lord, it wasn't just anointing oil that came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And in the very next chapter, or thereabouts, I think it's the very next chapter, he faced Goliath. And just powerful things began to happen in David's life. But it was the anointing of God upon him. The Lord spoke to Saul, when he was the king. And he said, Samuel said to him, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. Upon you. And you will prophesy. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you prophesy. Something happens. Something outside of you as a person. He said, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. You will prophesy with them. And he said, you will be changed into a different person. The Holy Spirit did that. In Luke 4, Jesus walked into the synagogue. He opened up the scroll. This is after he had been baptized in water and the Holy Spirit came upon him. He is now the anointed one. He is now the Messiah. And it says, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found a place where it is written. Look what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon. See, there's that word again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. You know that Jesus did not go out and do his mission until the Holy Spirit was upon him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set those at liberty who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In the New Testament, Jesus said, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. When he was sending out his disciples to go and do their work, he said, it's a great task that you have, but don't go anywhere. It's a necessity. Wait until you have this power from on high. In Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, anybody can fill in the words, comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And in Acts 2:4, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues. So what happened is when the Holy Spirit came upon them, something supernatural happened and they began to speak in tongues. That's what happened. In Cornelius' house, in Acts the 10th chapter, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on. See, he's coming upon. He fell on all who heard the word. And does anybody know what happened there? He heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. In Acts the 11th chapter, when Peter was being questioned by the apostles as to why he went to Cornelius' house, because Cornelius was a Gentile, he says, As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them. How did he even see that? How do you see it? On the day of Pentecost, they saw tongues of fire come down and they heard the rushing wind. But what did he see? How could Peter stand there and say, when I was talking to these people, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just like us at the beginning? Well, the reason they know is because they heard them speak in tongues. I believe that this is called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Peter mentions this in Acts 11, verse 15. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Peter was describing the event that took place in Cornelius' house. He called it the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus told us would happen. So what does it mean? I believe that when you're a Christian, when you come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in you. He comes inside of you. You're born again. He's living here. But there's a second, subsequent experience, if you want to call it that, in the Holy Spirit, where he comes upon. Not everybody has a spirit come upon them, but you can. The Bible says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Now, I think we're living in the last days. I think they actually began 2,000 years ago when Peter prophesied that. He said, hey, this is what Joel prophesied. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. So we're living in those days. What is God going to do in the last days? Pour out his spirit. On what? How many here have flesh? It's coming on you. He wants it to come on you, on all flesh. And there is a supernatural result. Your sons and daughters, they will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. You see, there's no one exempt. Even on my servants and my handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit in those days, says the Lord. The Lord is not holding back from anybody. Why? He wants each one of us to be empowered by his Holy Spirit so we can go and do what he's called us to do. Simeon was a man, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I want you to think for a moment. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit come upon you? Maybe he's in you, you're saved, but maybe you've never experienced what he calls the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And when you do, what's going to happen is he's going to come upon you and you're going to speak in tongues. I have no question about that. If you've never experienced that, come up and pray. Ask. The Bible says if any man comes to his father and he asks for bread, is he going to give him a stone? No. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? I hope you don't want to settle for just being a good-charactered Christian. I hope you want to say, Lord, with all the fruit of the Spirit in my life, with all the character that you put inside of me, the love and the compassion and the patience and all those things, let your Spirit fall upon me, Lord, that I might be empowered by your Holy Spirit to do things that I could never do in my own human capacity. I want to see the Lord do great things. I want to hear the testimonies about people who went out in the street and this person was healed or that person was saved or who knows what God will do in your life. We just have to be willing to step outside of that comfort zone. So I guess I'm going to close there. I have really a whole lot more here to share with you. How does the Spirit lead us? How does he speak to us? I mean, here's a neat one. Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip, go join this chariot. Who told him? You might think, hey, he's hearing voices in his head. No, the Holy Spirit said, hey, listen, there's a guy, you see that guy over there? He's searching for me. Go over there. Well, the reason why he was even down there is because an angel said to him, go into the desert. He took the first step just by being obedient. The Lord didn't give him A through Z. I believe, and I've shared this with you before, that many of us, we want to hear what Z is before we'll take the A step. But taking the A step is a little bit of like faith. You know, Philip's in the middle of a huge revival in Samaria. People are getting saved left and right. There's all kinds of wonderful things happening. And an angel came and said, hey, leave the revival, go down to the desert. How many of you would think, I rebuke you, Satan? Look what's happening here. Why would we leave this? But he said, no, I want you to go. And here was a man who just submitted. And he went. And as he went, the Holy Spirit now came and said, go join yourself to the chariot. And he didn't give him D or E or Z. He said, just run over to the chariot and you walk over there. You have no idea what you're going to say, how you're going to... You just go over there and then you hear the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. What are you reading there? I'm reading about this lamb and this story here. What's he talking about? He said, that's about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. So I guess I'll close with that. I guess what I want to say to you today, let me give you a couple of exhortations. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, ask.
Right. Good.
Pray. Ask for it. Pray. Expect that you will have the same experience that's throughout the Bible. God has not changed. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, can I see your hands if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues? Can I encourage you to pray in the Spirit regularly? Paul the Apostle said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. He was from south, down there south of the Mason-Dixon. I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all. Why? We build ourselves up in the Spirit when we pray in tongues. We build ourselves up in the most holy faith. Man don't understand this, but the Bible says you are edified. I wonder if you can sit down today and think, when was the last time I actually spent time praying in the Spirit? And stir yourself up. Because you're saying, Lord, you gave this anointing to me. And it wasn't just for you to get goosebumps on a Sunday morning one time when you were filled with the Spirit. It was for you to be empowered to be a witness for Him. And if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, stir it up. Stir up the gifts that have been given to you. Don't let them lie dormant. Yes, let's be men of character and let's pursue godly character, but let's also pursue the things of the Spirit. I'm almost done here. Can I encourage you to be desirous of being used in spiritual gifts? The Word says, pursue love, that's the character side, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. It's not one or the other. It's a both and. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. I had somebody the other day ask me the question, how come it's always women who are being used in spiritual gifts? Any men can give me an answer?
Because they're seeking the Lord.
That's exactly right. Men, pursue spiritual gifts. Now, we have men being used, obviously, but I saw a lot of hands go up there when I said, how many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Stir up the spiritual gifts. They are given by the Lord to build His body. You say, well, I'm nervous. Remember, it's outside the circle. It's outside that circle, outside the comfort zone where the neat things happen. You just got to be willing to step out of it at some point. That's not necessarily a rebuke, but it's a mild reproof. Let's be men, like men who are spiritual men. I thank God for the women. And I thank God for the men that are in this church, to be honest with you. There are many, many churches that have almost no men in them. And I thank God for the men that are here. But what I really want to see are spiritual men, not just charactered men, but men moved by the Spirit, men who are hearing from the Lord, men who have the Holy Spirit reveal things to them, men who can say, God is upon me, the Spirit of God is upon me, or I went in the Spirit to the store the other day, and guess what happened? That's the kind of men he wants to have here. And we need to also help our children understand these things. And the last thing I would say to you is look for the divine appointments. I don't know every day. I don't get prophecies every day. Like, here's what's going to happen. I just go through my day. I do the things. But there's a certain sense of expectancy. I believe that God has placed in front of us good works to do. Ephesians 2:10 says that. He's placed ahead of time things for us to do. And I wonder, when I get up today, Lord, wonder what you have in store for me today. And I don't agonize over. I don't sit there and try to fast for 4 hours before I leave the house. I go out and I do the things, but I'm aware. Just like Simeon, he's there doing his daily task, and he looks and he says, oh, I see them. There, that's them. Come here, bring me that baby. And he saw the Messiah. It just happened in the intercourse of his life. And so I'd like you to stand with me, and we're going to pray. Come on, you can come up here so people can see you.
Hey, everyone. Can you hear me? I don't know if I'm like...
Yeah.
Okay. My name's Jenna. I'm new to this church, and I grew up, and I'm just sharing a testimony really quick. I grew up in a really conservative church that taught that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. I mean, they taught about, like, mercy, teaching, things like that, but they taught that tongues, prophecy, healing, that was something that went away with the original apostles. And so growing up, I thought that people who spoke in tongues were just doing it for attention or for money, and I saw it as a really bad thing. And so a few years ago, I became friends with Nicole, and then slowly but surely, God brought so many Christians into my life who could speak in tongues and were baptized by the Holy Spirit, and I noticed there was something different about them. It was like, wow, they're so confident in who they are. They have this boldness as they witness for Christ, and so, like, God used Nicole and many others in my life to really tear down the lies that the enemy told me about the Holy Spirit. Wow. So, December 15th last year, so it's been a whole year, after praying with someone from YWAM, which is a Christian missions organization, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Thank God.
And so, yeah, and, you know, it made me realize, like, before I thought, like, people just did it for attention, it was, like, for your own glory, and it's not, like, it's for the building of God's kingdom, it's not a bad thing, and since then, like, I can speak in tongues, I can prophesy, and I don't even, like, get scared anymore when I share my faith with people, and I know it's because of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, for those of you who didn't grow up in a church like this, and you have a background similar to mine, I'm here to tell you, like, you know, you can have it too. Like, I mocked the gifts growing up, you know, and I thought, there's no way I can have this gift. Like, I mocked it, you know, and don't mock it. I'm not saying to do that, but, like, God forgives us. There's grace for that.
Amen.
If it can happen to me, I'm not a special person. It can happen to you too. You just have to earnestly desire it for the right reasons, and it's to build his kingdom. So,
that's awesome. Yeah. Very good. Thank you, honey.
Yeah.